is KETR's Locker Room, the newest and only sportscast for Northeast Texas. I'm Cooper Welch here with one of my other hosts, Taylor Phelps. Ryan Billups won't be joining us for this first segment, but he'll be back later. We've also got a special guest, new athletic director for A&M Commerce, Ryan Ivey.
How you guys doing today?
Good. So we want to ask you first, some questions about where you're from.
Sure, absolutely.
Introduce something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, I'm originally from Mayfield, Kentucky. Was born and raised in western Kentucky, and it's a little small town there, about 20 minutes south of Paducah near Murray State University. I know people these days know who Murray State is with their success in basketball. So I was born and raised there, and went to a small Class A high school, and played basketball and baseball and football and all that stuff while I was there. My claim to fame is that I'm one of only two, I think, people in the history of the high school there that was all-state football, all-region baseball, and all-district basketball. Right. So that's kind of my claim to fame. I was on teams before talent was a requirement to play on teams.
Right.
So that was me. Yeah, and from there I went to college, went to University of Memphis. Went there as a football student athlete, and again talent wasn't a requirement to be there. So punted there and held there. My claim to fame from Memphis is that I actually held for the current kicker of the New England Patriots right now.
Okay.
Steven Gaskowski is a good friend of mine, and I thank the world of him. He's doing a great job up there. I've told him when he got drafted, I said, I'm proud of you, glad of everything you happened. Now you owe me 10%.
Exactly.
Right.
I figured I'd at least earn 10%, because I helped
definitely
him get there. So, but apparently I haven't seen that check yet, so I'm not holding my breath. But so did that, and then when I was in school there, got a bachelor's degree in sports management. And then while I was there, I was able to intern and work with the Memphis Redbirds, which is a AAA affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals. And I know the Cardinals are kind of taboo in this neck of the woods.
That's true.
I am a Cardinals fan through and through, so I'm sure I'm going to irritate some folks as we go.
Yeah,
but I'm a Cardinals
fan. Rangers.
Yeah.
So I'm a Cardinals fan, and that was my first job coming out of school, was working for them, stadium operations. And then I went up to the University of South Dakota, Division II school at that time, since transitioned to the FCS level, and was there for a short period of time, about 3-4 months. And then I came back to Memphis to work for the women's basketball team as a director of basketball operations, and was there for 2 years. And then I went to McNeese, and where I was the assistant AD when I got down there, and then later promoted to associate AD, and was there for 5.5 years. And so now I'm here. So it's been a long, fun ride. I guess it really hadn't been that long, probably about 7 years, 7.5 years. And it's been a lot of fun, though. I got to see a lot of different places, meet a lot of good people. And, the one thing that I found even coming here and, being at McNeese and being at South Dakota and being with the Redbirds is, sports is sports.
Right.
No matter what level it is, at the core of it is the perseverance that it takes, the commitment that it takes to be good in your sport and hone your craft. And, mm-hmm. I've really enjoyed seeing all different levels of it, and it's been a lot of fun. And I don't know if I could do anything else. I've been involved with sports since I was 4 years old, and I don't know if there's anything else I could possibly do out there. I tell folks all the time, especially young people who are trying to get into the sports industry, they ask me, what is it that I need to do to get in sports? And I always tell them, go home and think of every other thing you could possibly do with your life.
Right.
If you can't think of anything else, then come back and talk to me.
Exactly.
Because working in sports is such a crazy, crazy industry that if there are other things in the back of your mind that you could be doing, then you're never going to be happy. Never going to be happy. So it's fun. I enjoy it. I tell you what, I enjoy getting to know the student athletes. I enjoy getting to know the coaches and just being around higher education. It's definitely a lot of fun.
All right. Well, you mentioned coming here to Commerce.
Yep.
What drew you to Commerce?
Well, I think the first thing, and I've said this a couple of times, I think the first thing is the growth potential that we have here. It is an institution that has a lot of tradition, a lot of history, a lot of success, but it's kind of been stagnant for the last few years, 10 to 15 years. And I see it, kind of as that blank slate. We have the opportunity now to really kind of make it great. Take it from where it has been to that great institution that I think it can be. And I think a lot of people around here think it can be. It's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of sweat, a lot of blood, a lot of tears. But it's going to be fun. I tell people all the time, the ride up is a lot of fun. And so I think that was the biggest thing for me was just the growth potential.
Okay,
that was
and
here.
You talk about that growth potential. So what are some things that you'd like to see changed while you're here, some immediate impact type things?
Well, I think the first thing is some of the things that we've already done is creating promotions for basketball games, you know, creating an environment, a game atmosphere within our events. You know, it's very important to me, obviously working in minor league baseball, that we have fun, at people have mm-hmm. fun at our events, that, you know, at the end of the day, I tell folks all the time, you know, we're in the entertainment business. Okay, we let's not kid ourselves. That's what
Definitely.
We do.
That's what sports is.
We are in the entertainment business, and if we're not entertaining our fans, then they're going to go somewhere else to find that entertainment with their dollars that they
sure.
have and you know, disposable income. And so it's up to us to create a good, fun, wholesome, exciting environment. And we've started that a little bit with basketball, and we still got a long way to go and a lot of things to do, but we've started that as well. I think too, kind of the other thing that we started and kind of really started it last night. With our town hall meetings, it's just being out in the community, being visible in the community, mm-hmm. getting to know the community. You know, I think sometimes there's a misconception within college towns that the community should be there to support the institution. And that's very true. There shouldn't be, but the institution should be there to support the community.
Right.
Okay, and that's what we have to do from an athletic
yes.
department standpoint. We have to be out in the community. We have to be supporting the local businesses mm-hmm. and, you know, promoting them and doing what we can to help them, you know, grow and succeed. Because as long as our community is growing, the institution can grow. But if our community starts to die and really starts to, mm-hmm. to fade off, then we're going to be in big trouble. And so it's really important to me that for myself and my staff and our coaches that we really get out in the community and engage the folks that are there.
That's good.
All right, you say you want to change those things. What are some things you want to see stay the same here at Commerce?
Well, I think there are a lot of things. I think the people here are great.
Right.
You know, I don't
yeah.
think we need to change the people. You know, I think we've got great people here from university administration, Dr. Mm-hmm. Jones, and, you know, all the vice presidents that we have, and Alicia Curran, and those folks that we have here on staff. Those are great people, and they want to see this place succeed and do well. So, you know, I don't think changing people is anything we need to do. You know, I think too, and kind of one of the things that was mentioned last night was kind of where we are, you know, within our conference. I think people like our conference. You know, we've got some challenges with conference expansion and realignment and those type mm-hmm. of things. But
I think very competitive.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is a very competitive league, and I like that about it.
Yeah.
I like the fact that our student athletes and our teams are challenged, you know, game
yes.
in and game out. So I think I'd like to see that stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, sometimes. You know, those are things we can't really control. We've got to do what's best for the institution. But I would really like for us to be in the Lone Star Conference. You know, we're the only charter member left in the Lone Star
yes,
Conference.
Right.
And so I think that's very important that we have that, you know, nostalgia about us in the league. So
I want to ask you, what about, like, I've noticed you've been at basketball games and made appearances there, and those are really the only sports we've had since you've
sure.
been here. What about, like, when soccer starts in the fall and football starts in the fall, your appearances – and I know you have children, so
right.
also it's a give and take between
sure.
your time, for sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'll be at every home event that we have just about. You know, obviously when things conflict, you know, those are things that
yes.
I can't control. But it is very important for me that student athletes here see me out there supporting them.
Mm-hmm.
Very important. I think in this business sometimes, you know, athletic directors and athletic administrators get caught up in, well, I'm the athletic director and I'm the boss and I don't have to go if I don't want to go. Well,
yeah.
that's true. You don't, but you should want to go. You
know, it means a lot to
absolutely
the athletes.
It does. You know, I always liked it when I always saw, you know, Mr. Johnson out there in Memphis games and saw him on the sidelines during football games and, you know, saw him on the road trips with us. And, you know, it really meant a lot because you felt like you were being supported, you know, and I want our student athletes to know that, you know, I'm there for them. You know, at the end of the day, my job is to serve our coaches who serve our student athletes. And, you know, I tell folks that you have to really have a servant's heart and servant's mentality to work in college athletics because, you know, you're not going to get the glory and the glamour sometimes that the coaches get or student athletes get. But it's about taking those kids when they get here, when they're 18, 19 years old and they get here, and making them quality people, you know, making them quality young men and young women. And growing them, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, building champions, and we want to build champions, you know, on the field, on the competition surface, you know, in the classroom, and in life. You know, we want to make sure that we're developing and molding young men and women.
You mentioned maybe having some conflicts during home games. How do you balance life as an athletic director with your home life?
I have not figured that out yet.
Okay.
That's something that my wife and I talk about in length. I tell you what, though, I have the best wife there is.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that because, you know, just to get on her good side, because I don't think there's enough I can do to get on her good side with all the bad that I do.
Yeah.
But she is the ultimate, you know, athletic director's wife. You know, she understands my responsibility and things that I have to do. You know, but two, you know, I like getting them involved. You know, I like for Jet and Ace to be running around the basketball courts after the games. And, you know, I tell folks all the time, you know, they have been involved in sports. You know, Jet came to his first basketball game when he was a week old. You know, so he has been involved with sports and been involved in athletic events, you know, ever since he was born. And Ace is the same way. And it's very important for me that they stay involved, you know, that they see what their dad does. And that way they don't feel like it's, well, dad's just going to work or he's going to a meeting. He's just going to a sporting event. You know, he doesn't care about us, because there are going to be some conflicts and there are going to be some situations where maybe I can't go to one of their T-ball games or something because I've got something else going on. But I want them to know, and I want my wife to know that, you know, at the end of the day, they're the most important thing that I have in life. You know, I can find another job, guys. I mean, I may not like it, but I'll find another job. And I promise you, there is enough. I've made that commitment to my wife and to my children that, you know, there's nothing that's going to come between me and
them. Family comes
first,
definitely.
It's no question that my family comes first, and whatever we have to do to keep them involved. But they enjoy it. They have a good time, too. You know, my wife has become a sports nut. I tell her all the time. She actually could probably be a very good athletic administrator because of all the conversations that she and I have had. You know, I told somebody the other day, and we're talking about hiring. I think it was, I was at the Lions Club the other day speaking, and I said, if you guys ever want to know the inside of an athletic department, just find an athletic director's wife. Because I promise you, she knows more than anybody else.
Right.
She knows more than anybody else. So.
Exactly. Okay, so I have one more question.
Yeah.
When we talk about, every week we have a controversial topic of the week.
Sure.
And last week we talked about college athletes being paid. So being an athletic director, you kind of know the business, the ins and outs.
Sure.
And you've been an athlete yourself, so you probably have a good opinion on this. We just want to know your opinion. Do you think the college athletes should be paid?
Yes, I do. I really do. But I think they should be paid in different ways. I think they should be paid based on their athletic ability. I think they should be paid based on their academic ability. And I think they should be paid based on their community service ability. So you take those three aspects and you pay them, because, you know, sometimes the backup kicker that's on there on that football team is not going to get as many athletic accolades as that as that starting quarterback does. But that backup kicker may be a better student. You know, he can still earn a 4.0 in classroom.
The GPA maybe raise the team
GPA.
That's
right. He can still go out and volunteer and be involved in the community. Again, we talk about being, you know, molding well-rounded young men and women. And to me, you're talking about, you know, academics, athletics, community service, being involved. And I think there's a way that we could do that. I don't know if it'll ever happen.
Yeah.
But I think it's just gotten to the point now with, you know, with the Cam Newton situation and things that go on, you know, the big debacle that's going on in Miami right now. You know, I think there's a way that we could make it work. You know, you've got the big boys who have a ton of money. You know, we've got scholarship money and things that we pay for scholarships and those type of things. I think it could work. The problem is that you're going to run into, all right, now you've got, you've got contract labor and you've got, you know, workman's comp and all kinds of legal issues and mumbo jumbos.
Right.
But in a perfect world, I would like to see them be paid on those three aspects, because I think you can earn money based upon those three criteria. And it teaches, you know, all right, look, you don't want to go to class? Well, then you're not going to get paid. You don't want to go volunteer? You're not going to get paid.
Right.
You know, you might be able to perform well on the, you know, on the field, but you're not going to be able to get these
more
other things.
To be
right,
well-rounded.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And so I think that's a good way that we could do it. Again, I don't know if it'll ever happen, but I think that's something that could definitely be explored. So,
all right. Well, we like to end our interview segments with a real lighthearted, fast-paced, rapid-fire question. So that's what we're going to go into right now. All right. So first, just tell us your favorite food.
Would be brownies.
Okay. Favorite band?
Would have to be George Strait. I don't know if that's
gotcha.
A band, but
that counts.
I'm a George Strait
fan. Best childhood memory?
Best childhood memory would be going to Old Busch Stadium, and watching the St. Louis Cardinals play and getting ready to catch a fly ball or a home run ball and having some old guy come up and knock me down and knock my hot dog on the field. So I missed the ball and the hot dog. So.
Okay, favorite sports team, professional though?
Chicago Bulls.
Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
Chicago Bulls, okay.
Yeah.
Favorite athlete?
Michael Jordan.
I should have known. Okay.
Yeah.
Best sport in the world, period.
Best sport in the world. I'm going to say basketball.
Okay.
I'm a basketball guy, so I love basketball.
Most Bulls fans are.
Yeah.
All right, mountains or the beach?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I probably would say mountains because I'm not much of a beach guy. So.
Okay.
Yep.
What would you like to see written on your tombstone?
Someone who went to work every day and did the best he could to change lives of people.
Do you have any siblings?
I do. I have a younger brother.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You have a weakness for...
I have a weakness for brownies. There's no question.
All right, something goes good with brownies. Favorite flavor of ice cream?
Be chocolate.
Chocolate, okay. Yeah.
What is your preferred way to exercise?
Play basketball.
Play basketball.
Yeah.
Pizza or steak?
Pizza.
All right.
What CD would we find in your car right now?
George Strait.
George Strait.
Yeah.
If you could play any instrument, what would you play?
The piano.
Piano, okay. Mm-hmm.
What would be a job you'd have besides athletic director?
I've always said that I miss my calling by being an attorney. So contract law, okay. You know, a guy that does acquisitions and mergers and those type of things. Mm-hmm. So.
What celebrity would you like to meet the most?
Oh, wow. I'm just going to go back Michael Jordan.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Coke or Dr. Pepper?
Dr. Pepper.
Gotcha.
Favorite teacher?
My favorite teacher was probably my freshman English teacher, Miss Bell.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Do you believe in ghosts?
I do not, no.
Okay.
If you could have three wishes, what would they be?
The first would be to be a very successful father and husband, make sure that's taken care of. The second would be, to have the opportunity to been a professional athlete. I think I always thought that was what I wanted to do and able to do. And then the third was just to be able to travel the world and see different parts of the world and see how different cultures are. So.
Gotcha. And my last question, LeBron or Kobe?
Kobe.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. And the craziest thing you've ever done?
Craziest thing I've ever done. Wow. Would have to be, jumping in the lake at home in the middle of January on a dare. It was probably 10 degrees outside.
Right. That's pretty cool.
That's probably the craziest thing that I've done.
Did you get any frostbite? Like that?
I didn't stay in long.
Okay.
But it was one of those dares between, you know, your buddies. I'll jump in.
Triple dog dare.
Yeah, so that's what we did. That was not the smartest thing I've ever done in my life. So.
All right. Well, you got through the rapid fire questions. So we're going to go to the next segment. We're going to take a quick break. You're welcome to stay with us if you want to, but we will be right back.
Appreciate it, guys.
Someone who has a car they no longer need? Maybe a student who's graduating college, an elderly relative who no longer drives, or a neighbor with a car that won't run? Do them and your station a favor by telling them about the KETR car donation program. We'll come pick it up and give them a tax receipt, and you'll both be helping your station continue to provide quality programming for the community. It's easy to do. Just remember the phone number, 855-KETR-123, and share it with others.
Latino stories are American stories. Each week on Latino USA, we take you to unexpected places and hear unexpected voices. It's about you, your neighbors, and our changing country. Join me, Maria Hinojosa, on Latino USA.
Saturday morning at 9 on your station, 88.9 KETR.
All right, welcome back to KETR's Locker Room. Ron Ivey had to head out and do some athletic director stuff, but we are very thankful for him coming in. All right, Taylor, it's controversial topic of the week time.
And I'm glad Billups isn't here, so he can't argue.
Right, so we can't have a huge argument. So what do we got on the table this week?
Well, I think we got two of them. We got instant replay in sports and salary caps, whether they're good or bad in sports. And I think we're going to start with instant replay.
Okay.
We've seen it brought up in baseball more recently, used for home run situations. Basketball is starting to really take effect in college and the professional level, of course. And then in football, we've seen how it's been used
just huge.
Hugely yeah. to determine big-time games and outcomes of games and big-time things in Super Bowls and whatnot. So the real question is, where do we draw the line between the ref's judgment call and what actually happens in a replay if they can reevaluate the call on the field? Soccer is one sport that has that I believe really needs it, really lacks replay for goal situations. There's a lot of time ball hits the upper crossbar, bounces down in the line, and bounces back out.
Right.
And they don't count the goal. And in soccer, with a sport where it might be 1-0, you really need that replay to determine a lot, because if you look at like a Barclays Premier League, that's 3 points opposed to 0 points for a tie. So, or I think it's 1 point for a tie. I'm not sure what it is. But anyway, regardless of that, baseball is one that people have looked into using replays for pitches and maybe using some type of technology for pitches. Mm. But I feel like baseball is so much of a judgment call, because the pitcher is having to adjust to the umpire just as the batter is having to adjust to the umpire, and so is the catcher. So there's a lot of debate between whether it should enter baseball or not, more in depth than just calling home runs. But I think a lot of it's judgment call. Football, I think it's being used well. It needs to be used for touchdowns, and it lends itself. Football, with the stoppages every play, lends itself.
Yeah, it's much easier to do that.
Yeah, it's much easier to use, and the coaches get to challenge calls. Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine if you had basketball coaches challenging calls.
Yeah.
It would be, they challenge every call anyway, so what if they were throwing flags on the court if they had two challenges? It would get ridiculous. It takes a long time to set up the monitor. You don't have all the sideline space you do in football. It's just some sports just don't lend themselves to it.
Right. I agree that baseball needs a little bit more, but I agree also with those people that say the sport needs to be pure and it needs to have no more delays than it already has, because we already have pitchers like a Yankees pitcher who, I can't remember his name.
It's true, though. That's how it is.
He'll be up there for like 56 seconds between pitches, and that's just ridiculous.
Twiddling his thumbs almost, thinking what to do next. And
if you already have that much of delay, you need to keep the game as fast as possible, because people already get bored, sadly,
and
at baseball
games.
And
I think people like to argue with umpires. I think they like to, that's not a strike, or that's not a ball.
Right.
People like that. I think people like to see the adjustment of pitchers and the adjustment of batters, and they like to see the batter. I don't think they want baseball to be that pure.
Yeah.
I mean, some of it's not pure.
If you bring in video replay for every single call, there's no way you can argue it. That takes out that whole
It takes out the whole judgment call.
The hilarious thing of seeing an umpire run out there and scream at an umpire, a manager scream at an umpire for 10 minutes.
Oh, it would take
minutes.
It all away, because there'd be proof.
You have proof
the side of judgment call.
The whole thing's gone.
And then where do you decide what the actual strike zone is?
Some
umpires have different strike zones, bigger and wider and whatever, than others do. Mm-hmm. So you'd have to have a set actual measurement of what the strike zone actually is.
Yeah. I think baseball needs it for home runs and for foul balls. I think that's needed, and I think they need to get it more integrated than it is, because they still struggle with that.
It's still not where it could be.
Yeah, and they're trying to take the tennis replay system, the AccuShot or something like that, where they can show where the ball has fallen.
And that's what I didn't mention.
On one side of the
tennis
line.
Uses it. I think tennis has the best replay.
Tennis
system.
Has it really good. But they want to take that system and put it on the foul. Like if a ball's rolling foul on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
They want to put that.
That would work really well, I think.
But they're having some troubles putting that in as a system.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to figure out how to do that. And they also they don't want another thing that has to take up time, like I said.
That's true. Definitely.
So
baseball's already slow.
Yeah,
so.
In this day and age, when you want fast pace, let's do it now.
Yeah.
Get it done. I think it's a little tough to say, let's add some more time-killing stuff.
Exactly. You would have to have, if you did in baseball, you would have to have some type of, you would have to have it replayed in the booth, and it would have to be almost instantaneous. Mm-hmm. Like, it would have to be booth to umpire call.
Yeah, those replay officials would have to be.
And you'd still need the umpires. You'd still need umpires to make base calls and... Mm-hmm. the different kind of calls, it would just be used for pitching, mm-hmm. which it almost seems like, why not just leave it out, leave the game pure, and let them decide.
Yeah. I definitely don't think it should be replay for pitching, because that's... I like you said, I like the judgment call. I mm-hmm. like that you have to adjust. If there's a replay and you know where the strike zone's going to be every single time, you can just train yeah. your body to throw to that in every single time. And pitchers would have a much easier time. But also hitters would have an easier time of knowing exactly where they...
They're going to know that's not a ball. That's not a strike. They yeah. can tell. They're like, they don't have to adjust anything. It's yeah. the same every time. So it would make the game it's not
easier.
Any different. Yeah.
yeah.
I think it'd make it easier for yeah. hitters.
All right, that's about all I've got on replay. You have anything else you want
to
talk about?
I don't have anything, so let's switch over to yeah. salary cap.
Salary
what do you
cap's
think,
good
Cooper?
Or bad?
Good or bad?
I don't know. I'm a little bit on both sides of the fence because okay. I really like the salary cap in instances like in baseball where the Yankees have just a huge salary that they can spend.
That's one of my big.
And you know, Oakland has to go play yeah. Moneyball. I think in that case, the salary cap is good. I think the way that they have it in baseball is a good salary cap. Mm-hmm. I don't like the basketball salary cap.
You don't?
I don't like it. Because it's a much harder salary cap, especially the one that they're instituting in
there's going to be a lot of penalties yeah. coming up for yeah. people who are over the cap, and I think it's going to hurt them in the long run. Mm-hmm. Later on, they're going to be like, "Wow, we shouldn't have gone mm-hmm. over because now we're struggling for money and we can't pay the players we want
right.
to pay."
And it's hurting not just the have-not teams that can't, like their structured salary cap is actually lower than the higher up teams.
Yeah.
It's also hurting the lower end players because now you're cutting all these people because you have to have
you're
the big
still
money
gonna pay
for the big people.
LeBron
yeah.
and
you're not
Kobe
gonna let him
the
go.
Same and Dirk the same. Yeah. You're going to pay all the best players the same money, and especially the older players. I think it's going
right.
to hurt them. I think you're going to have people like LeBron when he's older. I mean, who knows how he's going to end up being, how long he's going to end
right.
up playing. But when he's older, are people going to want to pay him the same amount of money? Mm-hmm. Are they going to be like, you're going to have to take less money? Because when the older you get in the NBA, we know how it works. The older you get, the more money you are eligible to make.
Mm-hmm.
With maybe players like LeBron, it won't affect. But players like, I think Grant Hill is a good example of someone who's older, or Jason Kidd, someone who's older, still useful, but not the dominant player in the league mm-hmm. and not one of the huge impact pieces that you can bring out of free
right.
agency.
Well, and then you think back even just like, for example, what the Spurs have right now. They have a bunch of role players on their team
mm-hmm.
that they pay minimum to mid-level pay. And if it comes down to lower salary caps and more decisions that you have to make, more teams that you have to just cobble together with whatever you can,
yeah.
the lower-end guys, it's going to be even harder to get in. So the NBA is going to be even more exclusive, which, yeah, it might not be a bad thing in some cases. But teams that have not already will have even less.
I think the players don't like the salary cap more than us as fans don't like
right.
it. But I cannot stand as a fan the way baseball is. Mm-hmm. And soccer's the same way overseas. There's no salary cap. So these people who run these multi-million dollar franchises in sports, I was looking, I think Manchester United and the Yankees are two of the most
right.
highest grossing sports teams, sports franchises in the world. So they can dominate because the amount of money they pay their players is whatever they want. It's
yeah.
whatever they feel like. So they can pay all the top players as much as they want, where some of these lower level teams can't do that. They don't have the funds to do that. So how are you ever going to market your team? How are you
right.
ever going to bring fans into the stands? Imagine if basketball had been the same way, because what if LeBron hadn't gone to Cleveland? Now, there is a draft in basketball, which
right.
helps basketball because teams can get dibs on certain
yeah,
players.
Yeah, but they can only have him for like 5 years.
Exactly. So say LeBron hadn't stayed a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. I mean, that kills franchises. Like, even overseas in soccer, they don't have drafts like that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have drafts like we have. And even baseball, the players are drafted so young, they can be traded so easily.
Mm-hmm.
And they can finish their contracts so early before they even really develop into the players they are going to be one day.
Right.
So I just think that the NBA is one of the best leagues in the world,
mm-hmm.
the way they do the salary cap. And I disagree with you about it being a bad thing. But,
okay.
I mean, that's opinion.
That's opinion.
And but it is, I think the salary cap is good in basketball. And I think if there was implemented into things like baseball and it was the same way in football and all the other sports, that it would be beneficial to the league and it would spread. I think it disperses the talent.
Okay.
The talent pool is more wide. There's more talented teams. Because what if the only teams that were any good right now were the Lakers, the Celtics, and the Heat? Yeah, I know the Heat is the best team anyway, but what if there was just three teams and they were so dominant they never lost to anybody else because they were just that good?
Yeah, there'd not even be a point in having another team.
There wouldn't be a point in having any other leagues. Well, I wouldn't be a Dallas Mavericks fan if there was no chance of us ever winning a championship.
Yeah.
And that's how it would be.
I agree. All right, that's going to do it for this segment. We'll have the next segment up on Friday at 5. Bilps will rejoin us for that one. It'll be a lot of fun. Make sure you tune in. This is KETR's Locker Room. Thank you so much for tuning in.